Welcome to the Religion Retold podcast with your host, Jake.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Religion Retold. Today's episode is going to be a short question episode, and today's question is, what are the Urim and Thummim? This question comes from the book The Alchemist, in which the main protagonist, Santiago, is carrying around an Urim and a Thummim, and apparently these stones are telling him what to do and all this sort of stuff. So the question is, what are they? Where do they come from? Are they biblical or are they not? And what's the go with them? So I'm going to answer that today, and I think we'll get straight into it. So do you guys remember those magic eight balls that you used to get from the $2 shop or in those machines that you'd put like 20 cents in and turn them, and then they'd little toys would come out of them? They're like these little circles, and then they have like this clear little mirror, I guess, window that you'd look through, and then you shake them up and then you have a look through and it'd say, you know, yes or no, or the odds are in your favor, or probably don't do this, or whatever they said. But when you had those, you'd take them and you'd shake them up and it'd rotate inside and then it'd present the answer, and then you'd ask it a question like, do you want to buy a bike, or you know, should I go for a run today, or whatever, just like kid stuff. It was like a kid's toy type of thing. But then imagine using something like that to decide other things, like whether you should go to war, or, you know, whether someone should live or die, or whether you should give your house to someone. And this is kind of similar to what I'm going to be talking about today. So just keep that in mind as we go through the podcast today. Now, we'll start off with the meanings of the words as per usual. And the first word is Urim, which, as per usual, no one really knows what it means. A lot of this stuff has been lost, especially as we start out, because a lot of it's very, very old. But they believe that Urim means light or revelation, and then Thummim means perfection or truth. And these are quite, like philosophical and, like, you know, kind of mean what they mean, but then are kind of hidden. They kind of have hidden meanings at the same time. So, yeah, that's kind of what it means in a sense. But then other people believe that it means curses or innocence. And this is the more logical. It'll probably make more sense as we continue on in the podcast. So let's get into what they are. What are the Urim and the Thummim? Now, again, as per usual, no one really knows what they are. The Bible never actually says what they are. Like, they're mentioned quite a few times in the Old Testament, Samuel, 1 Kings, stuff like that. But they're never actually, like, described, or no one actually says what they are. So the way that people kind of, you know, theorize what they were is by reading the chapters and then trying to work out how you could make something that would fit into the description of their use, basically. So they're like reverse engineering it by knowing their use and then like working back. So by doing this reverse engineering type thing, there is two trains of thought as to what they were. And the idea in one train of thought, which I think is probably the most likely, is that they were some type, either a single or like a double object type situation. They were either like a single object or they were two objects. And they were made of either wood, bone, or stone. And the idea, like the way that they're described in the Bible, is that they were on the breastplate of the priest, the high priest of the Israelites. So they're either set into his breastplate, because he wore like a nice gold breastplate with jewels all over it and all this sort of stuff. So it's either set into that, or it's in a bag around his neck. And it's either one thing that's single, that's got two sides, and one side will say like yes and the other side will say no, or, you know, maybe something more like, you know, philosophical or something like that. But basically a yes or no, or it's going to be like two objects in which
you put your hand in a bag and then you pull out one of the objects and it's either like a yes or a no, and they're two like identical objects that you can't feel which one is which in the bag, that type of thing. The idea that they're like black and white stones comes from the book, The Alchemist. They weren't likely black or white stones. They were probably identical, and they probably just had different markings on them or something like that. And that's kind of the most likely scenario of what they were. There's another scenario that they have in, and it's very hocus pocus, you know, divine providence type of thing, in which they were words written on the priest's breastplate, and then light would reflect on the breastplate in certain ways, and it'd reflect off different jewels, and it would spell out words kind of like a light Ouija board in a sense, and they would like get all these, you know, crazy revelations from this light that was reflecting off this gold breastplate. But it doesn't seem likely, because of the way that it's written in the Bible, that they often say that it only says yes or no answers. And also there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, but there's only 12 jewels on the breastplate. So it's basically unlikely that it was that. They're probably some sort of stone or bone or, you know, wood or something with like identifying markers on them that you could use to decide whether something was yes or no. Now, the way that they were used is that they were used mainly in pre-Babylonian destruction Israel, so before 607 BCE, and they were used only by priests, kings, and high court officials, and they were used to decide if you're going to go into war, territorial boundaries, expand the temple, expand Jerusalem, anything kind of like intense stuff, like, you know, hey, we've got to go to war, let's go and expand our territory, hey, let's spend a whole bunch of money to expand the temple and all this sort of stuff. And they'd get these Urim and Thummim out, and they'd either throw them around or pick them out of a hat or basically or whatever, and, you know, they'd make these kind of decisions based on these things. And so the idea would be either, you know, they flip them up and down, and, you know, kind of like a two-up situation. I don't know if you're not Australian, you probably don't know what two-up is, but it's like two coins on a paddle, and then you flip the coins up in the air and they flip around, and if you get two heads, you win money, and if you get two tails, you win money. But if they're like, you know, one heads and one tail, it's a redo, so it doesn't really mean anything. And that's kind of maybe the sort of situation that would have been with the Urim and Thummim. You would have thrown them up in the air, and if it said, you know, yes is yes, you know, you're off, you're good to go. No is no, you know, don't do it, or, you know, have a re-roll, or, you know, God doesn't want to say, do what you want kind of thing. And then, as I already mentioned, it could be like a name out of the hat sort of situation in which they put it in a bag and then they just pull out one, and one's yes and one's no, and they, you know, get their hand in, you know, here we go. This is yes, you know, we're going to go kill some people. Oh, this is no, hey, we shouldn't kill these people, that type of thing. Now, their use is quite prevalent, actually, for something that I've never, ever heard of in the Bible. And it starts kind of when they create the high priest position and they make his breastplate. They put these two things in the center of his breastplate. And then David uses them when he's, like, fleeing from Saul. David was going to take over Saul's position. Saul was the first king of Israel. So David was like, hey, you know, I'm going to take over Israel and I'm going to be king. And Saul was like, oh, this sucks, you know. So he's trying to kill him and all this stuff. So David flees and goes and hides in a cave. And then this high priest, because Saul murders all the high priests except this one dude, and he like escapes and goes into the caves with David. And then David whips out the Urim and Thummim, and he like starts asking it questions, you know, throwing these stones around or whatever, pulling them out of the hat. And he was using this to decide whether he lived or died, basically, because he's like, oh, you know, should I go see these people? Are these people going to, you know, turn me into Saul? Is Saul going to come and chase me? And he's asking these really, really intense questions to like these stones, basically. So that's the one time that they're mentioned. Another time they're mentioned is when Saul is trying to see who disobeyed him, in a sense. He has like this Salem witch trial type situation in which things aren't going well. So he's like, oh, someone must have disobeyed God. Someone must have sinned. Let's find out who this sinner is. So off they go. They start throwing the Urim and Thummim about, and ends up being his young bloke. So, you know, his son's all sinning, you know, he ate some honey or something. And then they're like, oh, you know, hey, let's not kill his son because it's his son or whatever. And so, yeah, anyway. Then, and there's a few other times which they're mentioned, but basically it's the same type of scenario in which someone has a question, they ask the question has to be a yes or no question. They do the process in which no one is really sure of, but it's maybe like a two up or name out of a hat situation. And then, you know, you get your answer, you know, good to go. It's quite interesting because in the Bible it says, you know, you shouldn't seek out spirit mediums. You shouldn't, you know, do any sort of divination, this type of thing. But, you know, it often mentions in the Bible them using the Urim and Thummim to do a type of divination to get, yeah, some info. So I thought that was quite interesting. Something that, I'd never actually heard of them. So that's quite interesting. Now, their use kind of fell away as the priests began to have more power. I think the idea is kind of like the priests sort of took over in a sense, and they're like, hey, we don't need this Urim and Thummim type thing. We're the priests. We've got this down, you know. Stop using that. You know, we want more power grab type thing. If you've got two stones that are more powerful than you, you know, that's a bit of an issue. So they kind of limited their use and eventually kind of faded them out in a sense, because when they returned from Babylon to Israel, they only wanted Jews to come back to Israel, and then people that couldn't prove their lineage because their stuff was burnt or, you know, people didn't know them or whatever. One of the guys, I think Ezra, said, hey, we've got to wait for someone who has an Urim and Thummim and they'll see if you can come back to Israel or whatever. But at that point in time, they didn't know anyone that had one, and they probably didn't know what they looked like. So, yeah, they'd really fallen out of favor at that point in time. Now, in the modern time, they have actually been used, depending on your religion. Now, if you're a Mormon, you probably know all about this stuff because it's quite prevalent in the religion. Joseph Smith, I don't know if you know the story of Joseph Smith, and I'll probably do an episode on him at some point. But anyway, the quick and dirty version is he goes into the woods, he gets these two stones, shoves them in a hat with a gold tablet, reads them out. That's the Book of Mormon, basically. He called these stones that he used to translate this golden tablet the Urim and the Thummim. And then, you know, that kind of continued on that idea, that story of them being the Urim and Thummim. And then, you know, basically they've been adopted as like a thing in the Mormon church. Like Joseph Smith received these from God. These are exact replicas from early Israel. And so they kind of have a culture in which the Urim and Thummim is like still prevalent today, which is quite interesting. So depending on how you would say the translations of Urim and Thummim are, if you believe it's light and what was the other one? Light and truth, light and truth. Then several universities in America actually use that in Latin, which I think is Lux and Verity or something like that. And on the Yale coat of arms, it's actually got Urim and Thummim in Hebrew on the book, and then Lux et Verity underneath it in a banner. So yeah, that's still quite prevalent for something that no one knows anything about, basically. So as you can probably, you know, see, the idea of the Urim and Thummim is quite prevalent in most societies. You know, picking a name out of a hat, short straw. You know, we do similar sorts of stuff today. The Arabs had a similar system in which they had these arrow shafts and they'd put them inside the big box at, I should know the name of this, but I don't. The big box inside, where's that? Mecca. You know how they have that big box that they walk around? They had arrow shafts inside that, and it had, it was basically like it had yes, no, or Allah doesn't want to intervene kind of thing. So, you know, you'd go there, you'd say, hey, I have this thing, you know, should I go on this trip? should I buy a whole bunch of cows? Should I do this? Should I do that? You go to the guy and the guy's like, yeah, we'll pull this arrow shaft out. Yes, no, Allah doesn't care, you know, go for it, that type of thing. And then the Israelites and a lot of other places around that area also had this thing called lots, which is basically throwing stones. So you kind of just throw all these stones on the ground or like some sticks or something. And then someone reads what the sticks and the stones have kind of said. And yeah, it's more like divination, God giving you answers through stones and sticks and things like this. So the practice was quite common. It's been common throughout the ages. So yeah, it's not specifically confined to Israel in a sense. So the idea of Urim and Thummim as like, where do these come from? These two stones from God that are on a breastplate that, you know, tell the future. William Moose Arnold has hypothesized that they are the tablets of destiny worn by Marduk, and that's a Babylonian god. Again, the Israelites kind of taking a, you know, a Babylonian tradition and kind of making it their own in a sense. So this god Marduk has these tablets of destiny on his chest, and he, you know, same sort of idea as the, you know, the high priest having these sacred stones on his chest that he uses to tell the future, that type of thing. So yeah, that's probably a Babylonian tradition that's been modified for Israeli consumption, basically. So yeah, that's the basic rundown of what they were, how they were used, when they were used, you know, similar practices, that sort of stuff. So I'm going to come back to the idea again of the magic eight ball. So the idea is, can you imagine saying, hey, should I, you know, marry this person, kill this person, live or die, buy this house, you know, all these insane, you know, things that should be thought about, you know, thoroughly, and just leaving it down basically to luck, to like throwing, you know, a couple of stones in the air or putting your hand in a hat, you know, taking it out and then believing that this is God's will. That's kind of how they were used. They were used to like do these really intense things, and they're basically just stones with like writing on them. So it's very, yeah, it's quite interesting that, you know, if you believe something, the power of like suggestion and confidence and that sort of thing is like pretty crazy, in the sense that you can take two stones and decide what a country does, or, you know, what all these people should do. Life and death situations are judged by two stones. So that's pretty intense. And that's the podcast for today. Thank you very much for listening. It's just a little short question one. It probably took a little bit longer than I thought it was going to, but they always kind of do. Yeah, so hopefully the quality on this one's better. I have got a new recording device, so I believe this one should be much, much better. And that should continue from now on. And yeah, so if you want to send me any questions, comments, criticisms, whatever you like, you can send that to religionretold@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.